This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Looking for election year support from black voters in the South, George W. Bush was greeted at Martin Luther King's grave in Atlanta Thursday by noisy demonstrators who chanted, "Go home, Bush." As Bush placed a wreath on King's crypt, a low chorus of boos could be heard from across the street where 700 to 800 protesters beat drums and waved signs bearing slogans such as, "War is not the answer," and "It's not a photo op, George." King Center officials said they extended no formal invitation to Bush, but accepted his offer to come. Under a new proposal, the White House would decide what and when the public would be told about an outbreak of mad cow disease, an anthrax release, a nuclear plant accident, or any other crisis. The White House Office of Management and Budget is trying to gain final control over release of emergency declarations from the federal agencies responsible for public health, safety, and the environment. The OMB also wants to manage scientific and technical evaluations, known as peer reviews, of all major government rules, plans, proposed regulations, and pronouncements. Viacom CBS Thursday rejected a request from liberal group Move On to air a 30-second anti-George W. Bush ad during the Super Bowl, saying the spot violated the network's policy against running issue advocacy advertising. A CBS spokesman said the decision against broadcasting the spot had nothing to do with either the Super Bowl or the ad's specific issue, but was because the network has had a long-term policy not to air issue ads anywhere on the network. Presidential contender Wesley Clark challenged George W. Bush to reverse policies he contended has shut out citizens from government. Clark called on Bush to stop hiding documents through classification extension and rollbacks of the Freedom of Information Act, and to cooperate with investigations into the September 11th terror attacks and the administration's secret energy task force. Clark said he would establish an openness doctrine that would restrict the assertion of executive privilege, eliminate secret task forces, and disclose all meetings with special interests. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Harleyville, South Carolina is cashing in on the commodity of its town limit signs. The town is now peddling the signs that were once stolen at least twice a year, presumably by fans of Harley-Davidson motorcycles. The signs, which apparently have a prestige among some cyclists, had been disappearing from their post, prompting the police chief to plead with people not to steal them. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, and welcome to a marvelous Friday here. It is here in the People's Republic of Vermont. It is just in the last few minutes, has the temperature crossed the zero threshold. We had 20 below last night. We had 35 below a few days ago. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up to the sound of cracking along the side of the house. It was just the wood is so cold that the house is making, this house was built in 1850, and it was just making these funny, funky noises like, you know, I don't like being this cold. But anyway, here we are. It's Friday. It's anything you want to talk about, feel free to call, by the way. Our number is 1-800 Talk Yes. That's 1-800-825-5937. In the second hour of our program today, we're going to have Congressman Bernie Sanders on, America's independent congressman. And we're going to talk about tariffs and labor issues and things like that. In this hour, I just have a whole stack of stuff. So let's start out by just, you know, looking at politics. I mean, this has really become kind of a ball game, you know? It's like, this is like sports. And, of course, there's the question.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean, the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who?
The guy playing
who
first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Yes. And the old Abbott and Costello routine. And suddenly, the last couple of days, the Democratic race has turned into this Edwards, Kerry, Dean, Gephardt shootout in Iowa. And hopefully it'll make it interesting enough that a whole lot of people will start paying attention. I think that one of the unfortunate circumstances of this campaign has been that these candidates have been out there saying some very good and important things over and over and over again in these debates, and most of America hasn't noticed, and the national news media, by and large, have not been picking up the really good quotes from these folks. I mean, they'll say, oh, so-and-so attacked so-and-so. If you get one Democrat attacking another Democrat, that will make the nightly news. But the specific, number one, allegations, claims, charges, complaints, whatever, concerns that have been expressed about the direction that the Bush administration is taking this country. Oh, that's those liberals being negative. Yeah, just like the conservatives were negative all through Clinton's administration. When somebody is doing something wrong, and in this case, this administration is just is flushing our economy down the toilet, military adventurism around the world, ruining our reputation internationally, destroying our relationships with some of our closest allies, acting totally like schoolyard bullies and a bull in a china shop, and with absolutely no regard for fiscal responsibility, it's important to point those things out. It has nothing to do with being negative this is just, hey, this is what's so. You have to diagnose a disease before you can cure it. And there have been a lot of very good cures offered by the various Democratic candidates. And yet I would bet that most people in America have no clue what the differences are between the health care plans offered by Gephardt or Dean or Kerry or Lieberman or Kucinich or Edwards. I'll bet the average American has no idea what the difference is between Dennis Kucinich's position on taxes and Howard Dean's. I bet most people they're just clueless because these things are not being reported in the media. So, which is, as I said, I think it's one of the unfortunate outcomes of this. But time will tell. Time will tell. Yesterday, George Bush used Martin Luther King Jr. Day as a way to get taxpayers to subsidize a fundraising trip to Atlanta. And you get this? The New York Times reports that civil rights leaders are outraged that the president's hastily planned visit to Martin Luther King Jr.'s grave, followed by a $2,000 a person fundraiser in Atlanta, where he raised over $1.2 million in just a couple of hours. According to a Washington Post report on May 20th, by adding a, quote, patina of government officialdom to the day, taxpayers are now on the hook for a significant percentage of hotel rooms, rental cars, and other local expenses associated with the fundraiser. Further, quote, because Bush is always the president, taxpayers pay the full $57,000 an hour cost of flying Air Force One, regardless of the trip's purpose, end quote. Reverend Raphael Allen, Vice President of Programs at Concerned Black Clergy, said that the administration is, quote, all about isolationism and greed for the upper class. This is not promoting the legacy of Dr. King, end quote. Bush's visit is even put a cramp on those who wanted to celebrate the day because of tight security access to historic black churches and other sites near the memorial site were limited. So you saw the clip of him and Coretta Scott King, and you know that that's going to become part of his campaign commercials, you know, particularly that they will play in the South. And it is, and in the industrial Midwest, and, you know, wherever Dr. King's work is very highly felt and highly revered. I mean, it is across the United States, of course, but in communities that have large populations of African Americans, I am betting that they're going to be selectively running those photos. Well, you know, it's funny. Actually, it might even offend that population, those folks, and it might end up being run more in white areas. I don't know, but looking at that thing, I thought, okay, that's a photo op. It'd be interesting to see how he uses it. Electrolux is this. Michigan News, here, this our ongoing, you know, job disaster situation. The local folks in Greenville, Michigan, have been working. The governor of Michigan, in fact, even got involved in this, trying to save this plant. And again, in our second hour, we're going to get into how this happens. You know, what was Smoot-Hawley? What do tariffs have to do with anything? What is a tariff? And what can we do about it? What kind of structural changes can we make that would change this? But here at 7:30 this morning, employees of the Electrolux company learned that it's going to close its Greenville plant. Electrolux says it lost 38%. This from WOODTV.com. Lost 38% of its profits in the third quarter, and it can save $81 million a year by shuffling off to Mexico. For Greenville, Michigan, this means the loss of 2,700 jobs and $437,000. That's about a 20% blow to its tax base. For the region, the overall economic impact each year will affect the service industry and Electrolux suppliers, amounting to $243 million. Now, on the other side of the coin, here in Juarez, Mexico, with an average salary of just $10 a day, which includes wages and perks like food stamps, entry-level workers at an Electrolux-owned appliance plant in this gritty Mexican border city find it hard to make ends meet. You see, they don't have labor protections in Mexico. The Eureka Appliance Components plant operates like hundreds of other foreign-owned factories here. This is from the Grand Rapids Press, an article by Rafael Nunez. Life on $10 a day, struggling Electrolux workers in Mexico grateful for jobs. Goes on to say, like many other foreign owned factories here, drawing its workforce from the young, poor, uneducated Mexicans from families that only recently have arrived in the sprawling border town of 2 million people. Two-thirds of these workers are women. With only an elementary education, they have few options when it comes to getting a job in this once booming city, which in the past three years have lost about 100 maquiladora plants to an even cheaper place to do business, China. So, well, I suppose, you know, Electrolux, I'm guessing they decided not to go to China because they're making something that's big and heavy, relatively speaking, you know, compared to plastic or clothes. So the shipping costs are less to come from Mexico. Marisa Lopez is a 19-year-old worker at the Eureka plant that makes vacuum cleaner parts. Wednesday, she welcomed the possibility that parent company Electrolux might shift its refrigerator production to from Greenville, Michigan, to Juarez next year. It would be a good thing for Juarez, she said. Well, maybe. Until Electrolux says, hey, you know, El Salvador's offering cheaper labor. Or shipping rates to and from China get cheaper. By the way, those of you who are listening to us on the Sirius satellite radio, we are changing effective Monday from stream 145 to stream 143, channel 143. So be ready, and if you don't hear this program on channel 145, go down to 143. That's where you will find it. It's 18 minutes after the hour here. Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Iraqi women protest return of harsh Sharia. Did you read about this? This absolutely, my eyes bugged out when I read this thing. This is in today's Washington Post, an article by Pamela Constable. For the past four decades, Iraqi women have enjoyed some of the most modern legal protections in the Muslim world under a civil code that prohibits marriage before the age of 18, prohibits arbitrary divorce. In many Muslim countries, a man can divorce a wife literally on the spot. In the heat of an argument, he can say, that's it, we're divorced. She doesn't have that right, but he does. And he can order her out of the house, and that's it. It's all over. Under Iraqi law, they had to go through a court process like we do here, and eliminated male favoritism in child custody and property inheritance disputes. All of these were laws that were on the books in Iraq, and most of them put into place by Saddam Hussein, by the way. Not that I'm defending him, but his you know, women had more rights in Iraq than any other Middle Eastern nation except Israel. Saddam Hussein's dictatorship did not touch those rights, but the U.S.-backed Iraqi Governing Council has voted to wipe them out. Ordering, this is just a couple weeks ago, that family laws should be, quote, canceled, end quote, and such issues placed under the jurisdiction of strict Islamic legal doctrine known as Sharia. Amira Hassan Abdullah, a Kurdish lawyer who spoke at a protest meeting Thursday, said, this will send us home and shut the door, just like what happened to women in Afghanistan. We did it in Afghanistan. They are wearing the burqa again. And it looks like we're going to actually roll back the clock on Iraq. This is just absolutely startling, and we wonder why they're upset with us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Where? And what your animals do to you. Seal. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Come, Firebat.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
My father was an engineer. Won't you shed a tear for my yellow rose? My yellow rose.
bloodstained clothes. Her grandpa fought old Chiang Kai-shek, that no-good, low-down, dirty rat, who used to order his troops to fire on the women and children. Imagine that.
Hey, welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I don't know about Chiang Kai-shek. He was pretty wild and crazy guy, but Taiwan seems like a pretty decent place these days. Every day, foreign individuals, this in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, the foreign cash flow is vital to the U.S., but will it last? Now, this is, actually, before I get to that, let me, this is a key concept that I think that so few Americans understand this stuff, and it is our future. I mean, understanding it so that we can speak out about it, so that we can inform our public officials how we want them to react to it, and so we can make sense out of the news, is so important. And there's so much of this stuff that's in the news all the time that people are just like, you know, what does that mean? You know, or they, you know, they just kind of glaze over. Well, the trade deficit this week was 300, you know, whatever. Okay, here's the, first of all, just two juxtaposed stories. One from CNET News, the other from the Burlington Free Press. Burlington Free Press, great big headline, huge headline. I mean, this must be 24, 36-point type. IBM enjoys big gains in fourth quarter. Technology Group's losses continue. IBM on Thursday reported sharply higher fourth quarter earnings. IBM said it earned $2.7 billion, or $1.56 per share on revenue of $25.9 billion for the 3 months ended December 31st. IBM showed a profit of $2.7 billion for a three-month period. Keep in mind, George Bush is going to fund our Mars program with $1 billion, although everybody says it's going to cost somewhere between $800 and $1,000 billion, $800 billion to $1 trillion to get there. Anyhow, here we it costs $500 million every time they send the space shuttle up. Just one space shuttle flight, go up, scoot around the world, and come back down, $500 million. And George Bush is going to send us to the moon with $1 billion. Right? Notice that in the State of the Union speech. Anyhow. Here's IBM had this great. All earnings features were well above the profit of $1 billion or 59 cents a share on revenue of 23.7 a year ago. In other words, IBM is more profitable than ever. And here we have this article in CNET News. IBM is declining to comment on a report that it plans to move the work of as many as 4,730 programmers to India, China, and elsewhere. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that Big Blue has told its managers to plan on shifting the work of thousands of programmers to foreign countries. Research has estimated that the number of computer jobs moving overseas will grow from 27,171 in 2000 to a cumulative total of 472,632 American jobs gone by 2015. So-called offshoring of IT work has come under criticism, blah, blah, blah. A union group trying to organize workers at Big Blue said IBM's alleged plans reported in the journal reflect the tip of the iceberg. We are hearing, said Lee Conrad, national coordinator of the Alliance at IBM, branch of the Communications Workers of America, we are hearing that the number of global services bills that will be offshored is about 40,000 by 2005. And they showed a $2.7 billion profit, and you can bet that the CEO of IBM is making enough to easily pay the salaries of all of those offshore workers as of right now. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. It's 29 minutes after the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new book describes coming home to a chilly western valley that's frozen in time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Winter temperatures in Idaho's Sawtooth Valley can hit 60 below, but the landscape is frozen in another way. Parts of it look as if nothing has changed for decades. The U.S. Forest Service maintains the Sawtooth Valley as a national recreation area, having bought scenic easements on many ranches. The idea was to keep the valley from developing with the trophy homes and subdivisions that are sweeping the west. John Rember grew up in the Sawtooth Valley, and he's written a new book called Trap Lines. In 1987, Rember moved back to his family's land out of what he calls a homing instinct. The area looked much the same as when he went off to college in the 1960s, but he says that was an illusion.
So if you go into the valley now, it will look very much like it did in the late 60s and even the late 50s. But it's an artificial reality created by the government deciding that it was worthwhile to create what's essentially a Western museum.
Rember says the valley's modest ranches are now museum pieces, but he says it looks authentic to summer travelers, some of whom decide the valley would be an ideal place to live.
You have a lot of people trying to figure out ways to live there, and I guess the winters are our great immune system. It gets cold and dark, and the sun doesn't get very high above the Sawtooths to the west. It's a valley that's hemmed in by mountains, so in the winter, there's a lot of shadows.
Still, Rember says wealthy people have bought many of the ranches, putting up big log homes to use as summer retreats, but he says he still feels connected to the land he grew up on.
I feel very lucky, and as I point out in the book, there are worse lives than those lived in museums.
That's John Rember, author of Trap Lines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. Love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Standing at the window, a farmer's wife in Oxfordshire glances at the clock. It's nearly time for tea. She doesn't see the phantom in the hedgerow dip its wing. Doesn't hear the engine sing. But in the cockpit's techno glow behind the Ray-Ban shine, a kid from Cleveland in the comfort of routine scans his dials and smiles.
Oh, I know where that one's going. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Truth Arena, day 847. In the search for Osama bin Laden, 826 days since the anthrax killer struck and shut down the offices of those senators who were in a position to stop the Patriot Act, Pat Leahy and Tom Daschle. 240, and where is that investigation today? Have you heard word one from anybody about it? 240 days since we started looking for weapons of mass destruction. And now even Tony Blair is saying, well, you know, I never really knew that they were there. And 186 days since that felony, that treason, that act of treason was committed by a traitor in the White House, in the senior administration of the White House, Joe Wilson, thinking that perhaps he knows the identity.
At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove Frogmarsh out of the White House in handcuffs.
And he wasn't, you know, just throwing names out there. Joe Wilson has some knowledge of what's going on, I think.
And trust me, when I use that name, I measure my words.
Yeah, and this is a former United States ambassador. He doesn't just toss stuff around. And now John Ashcroft has recused himself and put it into the hands of another political appointee, another Republican whose job depended upon the president, and thus Karl Rove. So anyhow, we were talking about, well, actually, let's go to the phone lines here. It's Open Line Friday. Glenn in Tulsa's on the line. Hey, Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, is our number if anybody else wants to call. What's up, Glenn?
Well, I was eating my cereal about an hour and a half ago and watching CNN, and because you were talking about the media and what's covered. It's all Michael Jackson all the time. Meanwhile, if you want to really know what's going on in the serious news, the scroll along the bottom has the real news. You know, three children killed in Iraq, and the political leaders, they're not going along with our program. People dying from the cold because they're homeless, and, you know, Maytag shutting their factory down and building one in Mexico. Meanwhile, we only had 1,000 jobs. It's crazy. They're just not. What are they covering? They aren't even news anymore.
Let them know.
It's just pulp.
Let them know. You know, the CNN.com website has a place where you can, you know, there are email email addresses to which you can let the folks at CNN know about your opinions. And I guarantee you that if enough people yell and scream, well, I can't guarantee, but I believe, having worked in the media for years and years, you know, I know that these things aren't entirely ignored if there's a groundswell of response. And I would encourage you. I know, I realize one guy isn't a groundswell, but you let your friends know. And I have a feeling that other people are also reacting and saying, hey, enough already. We know, you know, if it's Kobe Bryant or Michael Jackson, if it has to do with sex, but you can tell us about it once, but you don't need to do it day-to-day, you know, all wall-to-wall coverage, you know.
It wasn't just that. They've spent 10 minutes watching a car move through traffic from a helicopter, and then another 10 minutes watching the car sit, waiting for him maybe to get out of the car. Meanwhile, you know, they have 10 seconds with a woman talking about how they have a record cold in the Northeast, And the announcer says, "Well, sorry, we got to go. We have the main story today, and we have to cut you off." And then they go back to watching a car sit in a driveway.
This is the soap operatization of news in America. This is what happens when your news division gets taken over by the bean counters and the sales force. You know, back in the 60s and 70s when I worked in radio news, news was news, and it was sacrosanct. In fact, up until 1986, there was, you know, between the Fairness Doctrine and other provisions that the FCC had, it pretty much was required that you be reporting on the news because you had certain community service requirements. And everybody understood that there's a difference between news and infotainment. And the Fairness Doctrine has gone away. The news divisions of all of the major networks have been folded into their entertainment divisions, and even CNN has had to, in order to compete, I suppose, believes that it has had to become the infotainment network, and it's a tragedy. And, Glenn, will you send them an email? Will you call them? I mean, you can call them. They're in Atlanta. 404 is the area code. You can get it from get their number from information.
Yeah, I can do the. I have done emails, and I'll do another one, and I hope everybody else does one, too. All three of the cable news networks, they were all covering Michael Jackson and no real news. It was just made me sick this morning.
What's the third one that you're referring to?
Fox, which is not really news, but
yeah. What's the other third one?
MSNBC.
I see.
And CNN. You know, and they're on my digital cable. The ones right after the other. And I was saying, I want to see what's going on. You know, instead of reading a little bit on the scroll on the bottom about, you know, the latest problems or, you know. And when's the last time we heard anything about Afghanistan?
Yeah, welcome to America, run of, by, and for corporate interests, Glenn. It's this is the tragedy of the commons. To paraphrase an article written 100 years ago by a guy whose name I can't remember, but anyhow, this is what happens when. When those things that we all agree we need, you know, Thomas Jefferson saying you can't, the liberty of a people depends upon a free press. Our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. On January 28th, 1786, he said that. And free press is increasingly vanishing because our press is being bought up by these huge multinational corporations. The prime directive for CNN in many ways is you know, promote the movie of the week, make it entertainment, get ratings. Well, of course you want to get ratings, you want to be there, but who's going to protect the public interest? Who's going to make sure that people are actually informed about the issues of the day? Americans are the most poorly, the least well-informed people on earth. It is absolutely astounding. Anyhow, I'm ranting. Glenn, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Ed in Dayton, Ohio is on the line. Hey, Ed, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello. I just wanted to, I know this might be a little off of what you were discussing, but I just had a couple of dots that I wanted to connect.
Okay.
One is the AP ran a story about the first jobs of various Democratic contenders for the White House, and most of them were ordinary working class type jobs. They carried groceries, sewed a jerk, worked on a cattle ranch, etc. And I'm just curious, you know, how it is that they neglected to ask George Bush what his first job was. Since he's also running for president, and that was my first thing. And the National Guard doesn't count because he didn't actually do that.
Right.
But the other point that I wanted to make is Paul O'Neill. The White House is going after him because he supposedly used secret documents, you know, this horrible breach of security. It takes a lot of nerve for them to be doing that after what they did to Joe Wilson.
Joe Wilson, yeah.
Yeah,
it is pretty remarkable. You're not the first to have pointed that out. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate the call. 1-800-TALK-YES. Mark in Florida's on the line. Hey, Mark, welcome to the program. What's up?
I'm a new subscriber to Sirius Satellite Radio and just started listening to your show.
Okay, great. Be sure to note that on Monday we're going to be on channel 143 instead of channel 145.
Yes, I heard. Okay. My question is, I have been forced because I'm so politically, very interested in politics. I listen to all the right-wing radio hosts on the regular airwaves, and I haven't heard your take on why that is, and why the proliferation of all the right-wing radio, and why the success of it, and why not the left.
Well, yeah, okay, that's a good question, and a lot of folks ask that. Actually, the most well-known talk show host in the United States in 1986. And he was on 34 in 34 states and had incredible ratings. Was a left wing host by the name of Alan Berg, and he was doing really well. He was just ripping up the pavement. And two things happened in 1986. One was Congress or the president repealed the Fairness Doctrine. This is Reagan of the FCC, which said that you have to give balancing views on the air. And Berg was pretty outrageous and pretty liberal, but. He was trying to comply, at least, with the Fairness Doctrine. And secondly, Alan Berg was machine gunned to death in his driveway. A year later, a little less than a year later, seemingly out of nowhere, came That fellow who now starts his morning his program every day with the update on his attorney, appeared in, as I recall, 56 markets with no advertisers, which means that there was some serious bucks behind this, you know, rollout. You can go in and actually buy time on stations, or you can do it the old-fashioned way, which is, you know, get advertisers. But, for example, the way Christian radio works is they go in and they buy time on radio stations, and then they beg for money, and if they get more money than the time costs, then they keep that station. And that's how Pat Robertson made $1 billion, you know, his billion-dollar empire, using both radio and TV. So, you know, they rolled out Rush, and Rush is really a good guy on radio. I mean, I completely disagree with his politics, but I salute the quality of program that he produces. He's a very competent radio guy, and he was an old DJ. He worked in his first job. He was 16. He was working in his father's radio station, and so you know he knew how to do good radio. And between rolling them out in all those cities and making it success, you know, which after a while will get you some success, and the fact that he did a good quality program, it was successful. And so everybody, you know, there's this herd mentality in the media, by and large, and radio is not immune to it, of, hey, this is successful, let's try more of it. It's the same thing you see on TV. You know, one season is nothing but sitcoms, and then the next season is nothing but doctor shows, and then the law shows are really popular, and then the reality shows come along, and it's just the herd mentality of the media. And you know, people are generally risk-averse, and if this works, let's do something just like it. And what they didn't realize was that it was good talk radio that was working, not conservative talk radio that was working. And so everybody said, well, let's do it just like Rush, only different. You know, have somebody else do it, but, you know, in a different time slot. And so you got Hannity, and you got O'Reilly, and you got Oliver North, and you got who's the other convicted felon? G. Gordon Liddy. And, yeah, you know, you got the whole bunch of them out there. And now what's happening is stations, we're picking up stations all over the country. I mean, we're literally on from coast to coast outside of the Sirius satellite, just on regular terrestrial radio stations. And there's a liberal network now starting that's going to be rolling out in the spring. And this
What's
kind
it
of
going to take for that to succeed?
Well, I don't know. I'm skeptical about the idea that you can just take stars and put them on radio. I mean, I've spent 30 years in radio, and radio is a unique medium. On the other hand, if they can make it work, if they're going to do something like a kind of a variety show, a Garrison Keillor kind of thing or something like that, I'm not really sure exactly what their format's going to be, but I think that the article in Harper's a couple months ago defined it pretty well. It may be successful. I hope they're successful. I wish them success, because if they fail, it's, you know, like Mario Cuomo did, which was another example of, you know, you take somebody who has no background in radio, put them on the radio, they don't succeed, and everybody says, oh, gee, there must be something wrong with his politics. No, he's not a radio guy. And so, anyhow, that's my take on it. And I think that the pendulum is swinging back in the other direction. Radio stations are realizing that, you know, more people voted for Al Gore and Ralph Nader than voted for George Bush. And those people don't have anybody to listen to in talk radio. And so they've just tuned out. It's not that they don't exist, and they're not listening to right-wing talk radio, because you don't hear progressives calling into the right-wing shows. And so, or very rarely. It's just like conservatives generally don't listen to this program. I was amazed when I started doing this program that more conservatives weren't calling. And I think that what happens is there's this filtering thing, that people are really looking for more information and affirmation of their own worldview. So programmers are waking up to the fact that there's a lot of Democrats out there. There's a lot of liberals or progressives or centrists. People who don't consider themselves right-wing conservative cranks, and you know Arnie Arneson in New Hampshire, you got Randy Rhodes down in Florida, a Clear Channel station, regularly kicking Rush's butts in the ratings, right? I mean, in the city in which he lives. Who's the guy? Ed Schultz out in the Midwest now. He's in a whole bunch of different states. So it's growing. It's growing. So I think that that's it. Mark, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Tom, in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I can, Tom. Go ahead.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say that it's great to hear one of those 1,000 points of light that Herbert Walker Bush used to talk about. It's good to have an educated person out there telling people the right things, rather than all the hate monger that comes out of the conservatives.
Well, thank you.
And I was just thinking, you know, during the Vietnam War, we were over there to stop communism. That was the main reason, right?
Well, in theory, I mean, the main argument was we were there to protect the South Vietnamese government, and then we came under attack in the Gulf of Tonkin, which made it, you know, Pearl Harbor, we've been attacked, let's defend ourselves.
Well,
so that was,
you know, in theory,
but
then,
in any case.
Who was supporting the North Vietnamese? Wasn't it China?
Yeah, China was supporting Hanoi. Tom, we got to take a break here. If you want to hang on over the break, I can pick you up on the other side. Do you want to hang on, or are you gone?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. We'll finish this conversation because I don't think we've gotten to the meat of your question. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or a mistake.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying, "I love you."
Oh, what a wonderful life. If you're in Vermont, we're having a heat wave. It's up to 6 degrees above zero. It was 15 below when I woke up this morning. Anyhow, we were talking with Tom in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Tom, you were going to make a point.
Yes. Now, when we get all these manufacturing jobs over to China, if China nationalizes these companies, the poor people's kids whose parents lost those jobs here in America are probably going to have to go over there and fight to get them back, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, see, that's the disaster. I mean, we have had protective tariffs, and I'm going to talk about this with Bernie Sanders in just a few minutes here when he comes on the program. We've had protective tariffs in the United States since the creation of this country. In fact, since before the Constitution was ratified, back when we were operating under the Articles of Confederation. And in fact, even during the time that we were running the war, the Revolutionary War, we had tariffs in place. And a tariff is a tax that says, if somebody wants to import a product, the government is going to charge a tax when it crosses the border, and that tax is going to equalize the price between that product from that country and versus manufacturing that product here. Or in some cases, actually even give an advantage to domestic manufacturers. But most people consider advantage-based tariffs to be unfair, but equalizing tariffs to be appropriate. And the big multinational corporations came along sponsoring Ronald Reagan, and they said, "Hey, we want to have free trade for us. You know, screw the people. We don't care what happens to the workers, but we want to have free trade." And between Reagan and Bush and Clinton, they got it. And we're seeing the results now. I mean, this is exactly what Ross Perot was predicting way back when. And, you know, not that he was a prophet in all regards. He was just a businessman who looked at the situation and said, "Hey, 2 + 2 = 4, guys."
And the biggest problem, I think, is the fact that these corporations have got people turning on themselves. They got the bottom dwellers of the pond turning on each other, the Americans on the Mexicans and the Mexicans on the Chinese, when we should all be turning on the corporations because they're the ones creating this problem.
Well, see, we shouldn't even be turning on them because they're not creating the problem. They're just reacting to the rules of the game of trade that are established by our government. This is all legislatively done, Tom. It's all caused by legislation, and it can all be corrected by legislation because it's governments of the world that establish the rules by which international trade is conducted. And that's the level at which it needs to be changed. Tom, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Vin in Santa Fe, we've got, and Josh in Arkansas, we've got Bernie Sanders coming up. So if you want to call in a little later in the hour, in the next hour, give us a shout back. This is Tom Hartman. It's the top of the hour. Stay tuned.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Presidential contender Wesley Clark challenged George W. Bush to reverse policies he contended has shut out citizens from government. Clark called on Bush to stop hiding documents through classification extension and rollbacks of the Freedom of Information Act, and to cooperate with investigations into the September 11th terror attacks and the administration's secret energy task force. Clark said he would establish an openness doctrine that would restrict the assertion of executive privilege, eliminate secret task forces, and disclose all meetings with special interests. Looking for election year support from black voters in the South, George W. Bush was greeted at Martin Luther King's grave in Atlanta Thursday by noisy demonstrators who chanted, "Go home, Bush." As Bush placed a wreath on King's crypt, a low chorus of boos could be heard from across the street, where 700 to 800 protesters beat drums and waved signs bearing slogans such as, "War is not the answer," and "It's not a photo op, George." King Center officials said they extended no formal invitation to Bush, but accepted his offer to come. Under a new proposal, the White House would decide what and when the public would be told about an outbreak of mad cow disease, an anthrax release, a nuclear plant accident, or any other crisis. The White House Office of Management and Budget is trying to gain final control over release of emergency declarations from the federal agencies responsible for public health, safety, and the environment. The OMB also wants to manage scientific and technical evaluations, known as peer reviews, of all major government rules, plans, proposed regulations, and pronouncements. Viacom CBS Thursday rejected a request from liberal group Move On to air a 30-second anti-George W. Bush ad during the Super Bowl, saying the spot violated the network's policy against running issue advocacy advertising. A CBS spokesman said the decision against broadcasting the spot had nothing to do with either the Super Bowl or the ad's specific issue, but was because the network has had a long-term policy not to air issue ads anywhere on the network. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Eight passengers on a U.S. Airways Express flight from Pittsburgh to State College, Pennsylvania, got an unscheduled detour last week when their pilot accidentally landed at the wrong airport. The flight, operated by Shuttle America, landed at Mid-State Regional Airport near Phillipsburg instead of University Park Airport outside State College. The two airports are about 20 miles apart. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whoop-whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's Friday afternoon in our second hour of our program, and which means that we're going to have on brunch with Bernie. We're going to have Congressman Bernie Sanders on, the honorable representative from the state of Vermont and the only independent in the House of Representatives. Bernie, welcome to the program.
Tom, it's good to be with you.
Thank you. It's great to have you here. I think of you as America's congressman. You're a straight shooter, and you call it the way it is.
Thank you,
Bernie. I was going through stuff on trades and tariffs this morning, and is it okay with you if I just recap some stuff here for a minute?
Absolutely. This is an issue of enormous consequence, and we should be talking about it.
Okay. I was interested to actually discover that there is this. First of all, I started out back looking at the Smoot-Hawley Act, and you know, which was the height of trade protectionism in the United States. So it was passed right after the Great, you know, right in the middle of the Great Depression, 1930, and it was actually Herbert Hoover who had first introduced it. And then we saw an erosion of tariffs. In 1948, there was the Geneva Round. In 1949, there was the Annecy-France Round. In 1951, the Torquay Round in England. 1956, the Geneva Round. And these were all tariff reduction where a bunch of countries got together and said, let's reduce our tariffs. The Dillon Round in 1960 through 62, the Kennedy Round in 62 through 67, the Tokyo Round in 73 through 79, and the Uruguay Round in 86-94. And I was wondering, you know, well, what do we have tariffs on now? And so I went to the United States International Trade Commission. They've got a website, usite.gov.
You were the first person to ever look at that website. Is that correct?
They will
be. Well, maybe somebody else did. I'm not sure, but...
But it is fascinating. It is fascinating. They've got these hundreds of categories, products of the chemical or allied industries, inorganic chemicals, organic or isotopes of precious metal, blah, 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 blah. And so I just picked two. You know, I picked pharmaceutical products and wood. And I thought, well, let's see what they have here. And it's really interesting. They have the rate for most favored nation status countries, which are now called normalized trade relations countries, which,
these are the
which are all members
countries.
Of... Pardon?
These are the former communist countries, I think, right?
No, these are it used to be that we would set a low rate and a high rate, and the low rate was for the nations that we had bilateral agreements
right.
with, and we would call them most favored nations, and we stopped, and that was the whole thing with the communists was we
right.
said you can't be most favored, except China we are now, and so countries that are members of WTO, that was the whole thing about WTO is that everybody automatically became a most favored nation for everybody else. So, for example, in wood wool, Excelsior, and wood flour, we charge a 3.2% tariff. If anybody wants to try and export that stuff into the United States, we're protecting our local domestic wood wool industry. And if it's not a most favored nation, that is, if they don't have most favored trade status, like China wouldn't if, you know, every year a resolution is passed to, or is introduced to deny it to
but
them.
They're permanent now, you know.
Are they? Okay, I didn't know that. That would be 33 1/3%, which is a really significant tariff. And you wonder, you know, the tariffs that I'm seeing in here are pretty selective. Almost most of these are all now free. But there was one dowel rods that I thought was interesting. This thing is just a lot of pages, and I can't find it. But anyhow, it had like plain dowel was free, but finished dowel was like 7%. Here we have plywood with a face of Spanish cedar is 8% import, 40% for non-most favored. And where I'm going with this is that we had a caller in the last hour. And by the way, if anybody wants to call and talk to Congressman Bernie Sanders, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. I know Bernie likes to take your calls. We had a caller in the last hour, Tom in Grand Rapids, and he said, you know, we've got to stop these corporations from shipping our jobs offshore. And my point was the corporations are simply responding to the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're inherently evil or good. I mean, they're there to make profit, of course. But the rules of the game are defined by the legislature, and the legislature defines the rules of international trade primarily by our tariff laws, by our tax laws, just
yes.
like we encourage middle-class people to own homes by giving a tax deduction for interest payments. We can encourage or discourage particular types of international trade. And so I've ranted too much on that, I think, but I wanted to make that point. And I'm wondering if you think that there's any, you know, all of the presidential candidates are talking about, let's get rid of NAFTA and GATT. Do you think that there's any hope of that in this Congress?
Oh, absolutely, I do. Because I think that when any member, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or, in my case, an independent, a progressive or a conservative, you go back to your district and you talk to workers who said, hey, you better do something because my factory just shut down. I lost my job. I'm working for half the wages that I used to get, and my job is now in China. So you go to areas in the Midwest, you go to California, or even to the Northeast in the state of Vermont, you're finding large numbers of people who are losing their jobs. So I'm seeing many conservative members of the Congress who used to be great free traders are now saying, wait a second, I think that unfettered free trade in which American workers are being asked to compete against people in China who make 20 or 30 cents an hour, this is crazy. It is not working. We were sold a bill of goods. We were told all these new jobs would be created, and yet the fact, Tom, as you know, in the last 3 years we have lost 2.7 million decent-paying manufacturing jobs. We have a $500 billion trade deficit and a $120 billion trade deficit with China. Now, how can anybody with a straight face tell you or me or the American people that this policy is working?
Yeah, and that trade deficit, it's like I think most people don't get the big numbers. Our entire gross domestic product is just a little over $10 trillion. You can just think of it. I think it's 10.7 or 10.9, but let's say $10 trillion. And about $1 trillion of that is stuff that we sell outside the United States, that we export. But we're importing $1.5 trillion, which leaves us $500 billion in debt every year. Right. So it's like we've got a basketball here, and you sell it to me for $1.5 trillion, and I sell it to you for $1 trillion, and then you sell it back to me for $1.5 trillion, and I sell it to you for $1 trillion, and each time it goes back and forth, I end up $500 billion more in debt. And you know, this is kind of the situation.
Tom, as you know, this trade deficit is getting larger and larger, especially with China. And the result of that, people may say, well, yeah, that, I mean, that's something for economists to worry about. I don't have to worry about it. Wrong. The whole thrust of so-called unfettered free trade that President Bush and large corporations are pushing on the American people is they are saying to American workers, okay, American worker, let me tell you who your competition is now. Your competition is sitting in China, where you have highly motivated people who are prepared to work for 20, 30, 40 cents an hour. And if they stand up and they try to form a union, they're going to go to jail. And there are no environmental protections in China, which is why it's becoming a very, very polluted country. That's your competition, America. Are you ready for it? Now, Tom, one of the interesting things that's happened just in the last year or two is a lot of folks in America, people with college degrees and people who are very sophisticated in knowing their way around the computer and the Internet, they say, well, you know, it's too bad we're losing that blue-collar job. You know, my friend down the road lost his job. He didn't go to college. He's not as sophisticated and as well-educated as I am. I don't have to worry about those things. You know what's happening now? Mm-hmm. I think you know, Tom, and that we're seeing it in my state of Vermont. We're seeing it all over America. And that is now millions of information technology jobs are now at risk. Anybody who is now working on a job with a computer is in danger of losing his job or her job. People who work telephone and respond to service calls, they are in danger of losing their job. And we're seeing those jobs going not just to China, but to India and to Eastern Europe as well. So I think we need to take a very, very hard look at what is happening in this country in terms of our trade policies. Some of the jobs that we're losing in terms of information technology include medical transcription services. A lot of hospitals are now outsourcing, stock market research, customer service call centers, legal online data research, a lot of in the financial institutions. It's a big deal. So for those of you who are sitting beside your computers now and think you've got a secure job that pays you $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, you better wake up, because that job may be in India next year.
Yeah. Now, looking, and this all ultimately has to do with international trade policy, the rules of the game, and looking at this harmonized tariff schedule of the United States 2004, the one that effective January 1st of this year, I just went through it, and there's not a section. I mean, it covers live animals, vegetable products, mineral products, prepared foodstuffs, chemical and allied industries, textiles, pulp wood, half a dozen different wood categories, hides, base metals, natural cultured pearls, articles of stone, all these stuff. I mean, it's just like anything you can imagine is in here as a manufactured product, but it does not cover services. It doesn't say information technology services, telephone answering services, telemarketing services. What would you think about updating our tariffs to include services?
I think that's exactly. In fact, I was just talking to my staff yesterday to begin starting to explore what legislative remedies are available to us, because this is a different issue than the importation of sneakers or refrigerators into the United States of America. How do you deal with this? Not easy. But I think for a start, one of the obvious ways that you deal with it is you say to these large corporations, and by the way, let me quote, I want people to hear this, let me quote from a fellow named Jeffrey Immelt, who is the CEO of General Electric. This is what he said a year ago. Quote, when I am talking to GE managers, I talk China, 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 China. You need to be there. I am a nut on China. Our sourcing from China is going to grow to $5 billion, end of quote. This is the head of one of the largest corporations in America, and in many ways he's speaking for a whole lot of corporations. Our jobs are going to China. So I think in terms of goods, the remedy is pretty easy, and that's what we've been talking about, is changing our trade policies so that trade works well for not just large corporate CEOs, but for the average American worker. Trade is good, but it has to work for the average person and not just the large corporations. The second area that you're getting at to is what do we do with information technology and these computer jobs? For a start, at the very least, Tom, when you do your research, next time when you get off of the tariff issue, look at corporate welfare. And I know you've studied that as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what you find is that many corporations, including General Electric, Boeing, you name the company, they get online in Washington with their hands out and they get corporate welfare from the taxpayers of America. I think at the very least, one thing we begin to do is we say to these large corporations who are laying off huge numbers of American workers, we say, hey, you want corporate welfare from the taxpayers of this country? Well, you're not going to get any unless you promise to do everything you can, not only promise, but you activate a program to protect and protect the jobs of American workers and hire people at this country for decent wages. What's going on now is we give these guys welfare. They say, thanks, we're on our way to China.
Yeah, and it's a disaster. Bernie, by the way, the breaks for this hour, they're at 20 after, 29 after, and 50 after. I keep meaning to tell you that just so you'll know when the music is going to come. This is Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders, Congressman Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
When you add it all up, the tears and the marrow bone, there's an ounce of gold and an ounce of pride in each ledger. And the Germans kill the Jews, and the Jews kill the Arabs, and the Arabs kill the hostages, and that is the news.
And welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. It's Friday afternoon. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont, America's congressman, in my opinion, and one of the great treasures that we have in Washington, D.C. We've been talking about how tariffs and trade policy define the ability of corporations to offshore to outsource material production and possibly jobs as well. And Bernie, the second level of this is, you know, once we get the borders closed enough so that the corporations can't just, you know, do what they want and I mean, right now the borders are closed to human beings, but not to corporations. I can't go to Germany tomorrow morning and establish residence, whereas a corporation can, or citizenship.
Right.
Then we've got to look at our labor policies. You know, the Taft-Hartley Act was passed in 1947 over a veto by Harry Truman when the Republicans got control of the Congress. And, you know, it outlaws closed shops. It allowed states to pass right-to-work laws, things like that.
That's right.
Do you think that there's going to be any effort to roll that back? And then we got a couple of calls on the line. We'll pick them up.
Well, absolutely. I know that the AFL-CIO has made labor law reform one of their top issues for the coming session. And the reason for that is that we have millions of Americans who want to join unions. Not everybody does, but millions of Americans do. And when they go through the process as outlined today by labor law, the deck is stacked so much against them and so much in favor of the employer that it is very hard, in fact, to form a union. And what the listener should know is that for two people who are doing the same exact work, and one is in a union and one is in a non-union, the person in the union is making approximately 30% more than the non-union worker. So, yes, we do have to change labor law and allow those people who want to form a union to be able to do so.
Right. So what we're talking about really is leveling the playing field. We level the playing field internationally so that foreign labor costs the same. So if there's 10 cents worth of labor in a pair of shoes when we import it and it costs us a dollar worth of labor here in the United States, we put a 90-cent tax on that pair of shoes. So the dollar worth of labor here is the same as a dollar
worth.
Well,
that's one approach. I mean, what we are looking at is, you know, Tom, when we talk about trade, sometimes people think it's pretty complicated. It's not.
Yeah.
When the New York Yankees engage in a trade, they don't trade their star shortstop for a third-string right winger. They want equal value, right?
There you
That's
go.
That's what trade is about. It's equal value.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've just skewed these things terribly. Let's take a call. Dan in Chicago is on the line. Hey, Dan, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Thanks, Tom. I'm wondering if you guys, Congressman Sanders especially, heard about a year ago there was a story in the India Times that the Republicans were using an outsourcing firm in India to do some of their fundraising. Story kind of went away. But recently, actually just within the last few days, I got a call from a Democratic presidential campaign, which I won't name because I can't prove any of this, that I have contributed to before. It sounded to me awfully like an Indian voice on the other line, even though they try to disguise it. Do you know if there's any political fundraising going on by either party being done that's being shipped to India? And if so, is there any way to prove this?
Dan, I have heard the first allegation that the Republican National Committee, I think it was in fact outsourcing to India. I have not heard that denied. But that was in the papers, and that is what I heard. that they're using cheap labor to raise money in the United States by using callers from India.
Yeah, as to the Democrats, I mean, keep in mind, Dan, there's a lot of people of Indian ancestry, you know,
right.
A lot of immigrants to this country who have Indian accents.
And Tom, and, you know, one of the things...
might have just been a local employee who had an Indian accent.
That's correct. And one of the things that I know you agree with me on, we're not here, you know, we're not some right-wing nationalists who want to denounce the rest of the world. We want the people in India to do well. We want the people in China to do well. And I think the first world has a role to play. But we don't have to do it at the expense of the American middle class.
There you go. We can level the playing field and let everybody prosper.
Right.
Well said, Bernie. This is Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned. Armin in Florida, Richard in North Carolina. We'll get to your calls right after this.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new book describes coming home to a chilly western valley that's frozen in time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Winter temperatures in Idaho's Sawtooth Valley can hit 60 below, but the landscape is frozen in another way. Parts of it look as if nothing has changed for decades. The U.S. Forest Service maintains the Sawtooth Valley as a national recreation area, having bought scenic easements on many ranches. The idea was to keep the valley from developing with the trophy homes and subdivisions that are sweeping the west. John Rember grew up in the Sawtooth Valley, and he's written a new book called Trap Lines. In 1987, Rember moved back to his family's land out of what he calls a homing instinct. The area looked much the same as when he went off to college in the 1960s, but he says that was an illusion.
So if you go into the valley now, it will look very much like it did in the late 60s and even the late 50s. But it's an artificial reality created by the government deciding that it was worthwhile to create what's essentially a Western museum.
Rember says the valley's modest ranches are now museum pieces, but he says it looks authentic to summer travelers, some of whom decide the valley would be an ideal place to live.
You have a lot of people trying to figure out ways to live there, and I guess the winters are our great immune system. It gets cold and dark, and the sun doesn't get very high above the Sawtooths to the west. It's a valley that's hemmed in by mountains, so in the winter, there's a lot of shadows.
Still, Rember says wealthy people have bought many of the ranches, putting up big log homes to use as summer retreats, but he says he still feels connected to the land he grew up on.
I feel very lucky, and as I point out in the book, there are worse lives than those lived in museums.
That's John Rember, author of Trap Lines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all clear. Fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thank you.
you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait until November of 2004. We're going to wake up America and bring about a change. It's time to boot out the corporate loving. I need to come up with one of those lists like is in that ad in Iowa. Anyhow, this is Tom Hartman with Congressman Bernie Sanders Friday afternoon. Armin in Florida is on the line with a comment and a question. Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
First, my comment. Hey, Bernie, how you doing?
Good, Armin. How are you?
Just fine. You know, this criminal administration has brought us broken records. Did you know that? We have record unemployment, record health care costs, record uninsured, record budget debt, record national debt, record trade deficits, and the records just keep going on and on and keep getting broken.
That's quite a record.
Yeah, and then I'm sitting here seeing the Nazi media, and they're sitting there saying that the Skull and Bones Kerry is pulling ahead of Dean. And, of course, we know Dean won't take corporate money. Oh, my. Where are we?
Well, I think...
Well,
yeah, did you have a question, Armin, or was that your...
Yeah, I'm asking you, who would believe... We got a Skull and Bones in the White House now. So here Kerry comes from 6% at the best, you know, a couple months ago, nobody. And he's pulling ahead of Dean, and Dean's not taking corporate money. And the media's saying, believe it, because we're saying
yeah.
it. You got to be
okay.
kidding me.
Thanks, Armin. I appreciate the call. Your thoughts, Bernie?
Well, what I think are a couple of things is I think Armin listing what, in fact, is going on in this country is extraordinarily important. Because we're going to hear a State of the Union next week, and the president is going to tell us how everything is terrific. But what Armin just said is think about your job. How are you doing compared to a few years ago? Are you feeling secure about your job? Think about health care. Do you have health insurance? Are health insurance rates going up or not? Think about the environment and how that is is deteriorating because of horrendous environmental policies. Think about public education in your community. Think about college costs. Think about your retirement security. Think about those issues, and let's not get distracted. If we think about those issues and we come up with policies, we can defeat the guy who's in the White House.
Yeah. And don't you think, you know, our friends and neighbors' sons and daughters dying in Iraq is as much a domestic issue as an international one?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a domestic issue for a couple of reasons. It's a domestic issue because we have lost almost 500 Americans. We have seen almost four or five times that wounded. And we're spending hundreds of billions of dollars, which we could use to rebuild America, create jobs here, provide health care to people, improve education. Yes, that is a huge domestic issue.
Yeah. Richard of North Carolina is on the line. Our number is 1-800-TALK, yes, if you'd like to talk with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Richard, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Hey, fellas. Back to the jobs issue. We got this perfect storm of cheap labor being brought into the country and jobs being outsourced out of the country.
And, you're talking about Bush's revival of the Bracero program?
Right, that's part of it. And Tom, I have a problem sometimes with understanding. You say that these aren't bad people, so just for my own edification, maybe from your experience with what you hear from your business associates and what Bernie hears from his colleagues in the Congress, what is the motivation of these people who choose to participate in this system that we've acknowledged is ruining the country instead of doing anything to change it?
Well, I tell you what I'm only speaking for myself, Richard, but I think that what has happened over the last 20 or 30 years is a culture has developed among the business community, the big business community, and what they have said and are increasingly saying is we're not Americans. We don't have to worry about the United States of America. Our job is to make as much money as we can for ourselves and for our investors. And if the middle class in America is destroyed, tough luck. So I think they're motivated increasingly by greed, and they are extremely, excuse me, unpatriotic. That's my view.
Yeah. Okay, and I would add to that, Richard. You know, you said you quoted me as saying these aren't bad guys. First of all, I will acknowledge that there are a few people out there in the business world who have clawed their way to the top, who are clearly acting out some sort of sociopathic behavior. They have an obsessive compulsive disorder that has attached itself to money, or they're, you know, just, I mean, we could psychoanalyze them all day long, but they're nuts. But I don't think that that's true of the vast majority of them. My question for you, Richard, is if you knew, if somebody came along and informed you legitimately, you know, this was not at all illegal, that only a person who lived at your particular street address, in other words, just you and your family, were eligible to win the lottery if you bought the ticket from the 7-Eleven down the street from you. Would you go down and buy the ticket?
Yeah, sure I would. But the...
Okay, well, that's what's happening. The government has changed the rules and said to these guys, if you jump through this hoop, you get that profit.
But unfortunately, Tom, to some degree, these guys, and we look at the government, I don't think we're going to discover it up in Mars with this new exploration. The government is in Washington, D.C., and the government, as I think, you know, Richard is indicating, is heavily influenced by these fellows. I was there.
Oh, sure.
I was there when these trade, when NAFTA came up and TNTR with China came up, and the money is flying fast and furious in terms of campaign contributions, in terms of the editorials that appear in the major newspapers throughout America. So there is tremendous corporate pressure to influence the Congress to pass this legislation, which these guys are now taking advantage of.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to say that government, that you guys are the problem. Well, you know, I think Congress is creating the problem because Congress is the rule keeper. They're the referees of the game.
No, that's
but the big problem, frankly, is the fact that corporations can now give money to politicians, and it didn't used to always, it wasn't always that way. And anyhow, that's a whole other rant.
You know, I think when we talk about these issues, what people should simply look at is imagine in your community that a whole lot of people came in who were very, very desperate and who were able to work for $1 or $2 an hour without any benefits, and that was your competition. Essentially, that is what is increasingly happening, both in terms of the immigrant issue that Bush is pushing, as well as our trade policy. That's your competition. What is the result going to be? The result will be enormous pressure on wages for the American worker.
Yeah, and it clearly is right now. We just saw this up near Grand Rapids, Michigan. The Electrolux refrigerator factory is going to be closing down and moving to Mexico, losing a couple of thousand jobs. It's just in this morning's paper. We have Pete in Santa Fe, New Mexico on the line. Hey, Pete, welcome to the Tom Hartman program with Congressman Bernie Sanders. You're on the air.
Well, thank you. You guys make my Fridays.
Great.
Just a joy to listen to you. And, you know, Bernie's outrage has never gets irrational, and that's so nice.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I have a story about, you know, the 13% that more that you pay for unions, you get it all back. Because I have a family story. My dad started a company, and about 7 years into the process, the UAW came in and started organizing his shop, and he was, you know, totally irrational about it, actually, he was such a jerk that he got cited by the NLRB for unfair labor practices. And but anyhow, the UAW finally made it in, and within a year, he said, "This is the best thing that ever happened to my company." You know, we now have bottom up input. We have much less absenteeism, much less turnover. You know, much better morale. And much better productivity, and you know, these people who just have this knee jerk thing against unions. I mean, unions perform an incredible function.
That's right. So your dad reluctantly became a union supporter, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But your point is very well taken. You know, there are two ways you can run a big business, and one of them is you provide as low wages as you can. You have huge turnover, and you make money with your low wages. The other way is you have dedicated employees, you have high morale, you pay people well, there's loyalty. And that's the other way to make money, and a lot of companies understand that.
Yeah, and then you start having nephews and sons and cousins, and you know, everybody wants to work for you because,
that's right,
you know, your employees are so happy.
People feel part of a team rather than at war every day.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
that's
said,
a good
Pete.
Point, Pete.
So, you know, that 13% is probably no more than, you know, in terms of cost, it probably almost disappears in terms of increased efficiency and other benefits that accrue to the employer.
Yeah. There you
Tom,
go.
I have talked to many employers who say exactly what Pete said. They were nervous in the beginning, but in the end result, unions have worked very, very well for the company.
Yeah. Pete, thanks for the call. 1-800-TALK. Yes, Raymond in Michigan is on the line. Hey, Raymond, where in Michigan are you?
Tom, remember that solid community we talked about before?
You're going to have to turn the volume up there, Raymond. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Okay, Cement City, Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember that solid community that we talked about before? Hold on a second here. I got it.
Yeah, turn down the radio.
Yeah. Okay, there we are. Is that better? Okay.
That's better.
Yeah.
Okay. It's Cement City, Michigan, south of Jackson, out by the Speedway out there.
Oh, yeah. I've been there.
Well, listen, I wanted to throw a couple things in. I know there's only so much time here, but one thing I'd like to commission you, Tom, to maybe make a comparative analysis of some of the approaches that are taken by the Progressive Caucus versus the DLC in trade policy and corporate issues. I think it's pretty important if we understand the different approaches from the two different groups.
Well, I think I can largely tell you right now, Raymond, the DLC is more aligned with the Republican perspective than the Progressive Caucus is. Am I wrong, Bernie?
Well, as the founder of the Progressive Caucus, which now has about 55 members in the House, yes, you're quite right. The DLC are, in terms of trade policies, quite conservative. They are, by and large, free traders. And Bill Clinton, of course, came from that background. The Progressive Caucus is pro-worker and to varying degrees has very strong concerns about our current trade policy and what it's doing to the middle class in this country.
Well, I mean, is it that simple? Or I remember when you did that analysis comparing conservatism versus liberalism.
And right, where we went back to the roots of both. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm thinking in order to help the party and help people understand where things are and really get a dialogue so that we can get more consensus in the Democratic Party, for example, is it would be more helpful to have a few more detailed comparisons and
sure.
reasoning and maybe some discussion from both sides on your program. I think you do a great job in these things, and I think that's key to moving ahead because...
it's a great suggestion, Raymond, and the DLC information is readily available. I'm not, I'll do that. In fact, we'll put that on the list for a future show. What is the DLC up to? Bernie, is the Progressive Caucus, do they publish position papers and things, or do you guys just get together?
We don't do it as well as we should, and people will have different points of view. But I think if you were to poll or look at the records of most of the members of the Progressive Caucus, I think that their votes and their beliefs would express a strong concern about our current trade policy.
Yeah.
I think also, if I could just respond to Raymond for a moment, sometimes when we say somebody is a liberal or somebody is a conservative, we think that that adequately defines who they are politically, and that is not necessarily the case. Too often, the issue of liberal versus conservative deals with what we might call social issues, one's views on abortion, one's views on gay rights. And yet, if you look at it from an economic point of view, you will find that there are liberals like Bill Clinton who are free traders.
In other words, conservatives.
There are conservatives, right, who are not sympathetic to our current trade policy. So I would use the word, when you talk about the word progressive as distinguished from liberal, you'll find that progressives are more attuned, I think, to the needs of working people in the middle class from an economic point of view.
Well, I think that's great that you pointed out that way, because that's kind of where I'm going with this thing is to understanding these points of view. Now, I kind of put my own definition out there, right or wrong, that I think of liberals in terms of what is the ultimate value, is the worth of people, and I think of progressive in terms of action items, the things
uh-huh.
that were done in history in order to bring things, bring people to their full potential.
Yeah, it's a good point. You had the progressive and the populist movement and all that. Well said, Richard. Raymond, we got to move along. We still have Mike in Florida and Dan in New Mexico on the line. We've only got two and a half minutes here left in this segment. So let's go to Mike in Florida. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom, it's Mike in Orlando, and how you doing, Bernie?
Good, Mike.
I got a comment and a quick question also. You mentioned to Alan Greenspan he was out of touch, and this is pretty disheartening to see that there's more than him that's out of touch, but
I watched that trade conference the other day. They reran it on C-SPAN. And when the guy said we're going to be a third world country in 20 years, everybody tend to laugh it off. And they kind of wondered why everybody was moving jobs to China and why what it would take to move back. And it just shows how out of touch they are. And another thing Alan Greenspan said when he was in Berlin, he said about the jobs that cannot go on indefinitely. It's just a matter of time before we begin to see employment start to pick up quite significantly, as it always has in the past. I mean, that's his big pitch, is we're based, you know, we're counting on the past, and we're not doing anything else
And your point, Mike?
Well, I just don't have any faith in any of these guys because I think, like Bernie said, I think a lot of them are out of touch.
They are.
Okay, Bernie, you got 30
Mike
seconds.
Mike makes a very good point. Mike, let me read to you something. There's some information that came recently from the Congressional Budget Office. Between 1973 and 2000, the average real inflation accounted for income of the bottom 90% of American taxpayers actually fell by 7%. Meanwhile, the very richest people became phenomenally richer. So, in fact, we are looking at the collapse of the middle class in many ways and an increase in poverty, and there are some areas in this country that today look like a third world nation.
And it's happening. This is Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Baby, I've been here before. I know this room. I walk this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman with Congressman Bernie Sanders. It's Brunch with Bernie Friday afternoon, the second hour of our program. And Dan in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program. We got about 2.5 minutes here left.
Hey, thanks. You know, I have a really quick question. See, the problem that I see happening is that it's really hard to compete against China and Mexico and these places, you know, particularly with the way that we've established policy with them. Obviously, you know, things aren't so good in New Mexico where we still have all of the immigrants coming across the border. When we still have our companies going over there and exploiting them, I'd assume if we paid them even a minimum wage and offered them benefits and such, you know, not only would our companies still turn a good profit, but then it would also take care of some of the immigration problems that we have.
Yeah, but, so, but you know, wouldn't an international minimum wage simply define the bottom to which the United States is going to race? Bernie, what do you think?
Yeah, I kind of think so. I mean, one of the things that people should understand is if we have been focusing today on the impact of so-called free trade on the American worker, which has been a disaster, but no one should have any illusions that NAFTA has helped the working people in Mexico. The number of people in poverty has gone up. The agricultural sector has lost over 1 million jobs because they can't compete against American agribusiness. Wages have gone down there for the vast majority of the people. It hasn't worked for them. You know, Tom, right now the president recently was at a meeting with Latin American leaders, and what they told him pretty unequivocally is that these neoliberal policies, free trade and so forth, have not worked for Latin America.
Right, and then and neoliberal as in what we would call conservative, the rest
right.
of the world calls neoliberal, this right. this you know, corporation first policy. Yeah, they're quite explicit about
so
that.
I think the United States and the first world, Europe and the wealthy countries, have an obligation to improve the standard of living of poor people. But the point has got to be made, we don't have to do it by wiping out the middle class in this country.
No, and in fact, if we do, we'll be less able to do the things that we have the obligation to do.
Right.
It's just
exactly.
Yeah, it's a circular logic that comes back to itself. So, Congressman Bernie Sanders, thanks so much for being with us today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to join us.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'll
keep up
see
the great
you next
work.
Friday.
Bye bye.
Thanks. You too, Bernie. Bye now. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the place where smart people get their news.
We'll be right back.
listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Looking for election year support from black voters in the South, George W. Bush was greeted at Martin Luther King's grave in Atlanta Thursday by noisy demonstrators who chanted, "Go home, Bush." As Bush placed a wreath on King's crypt, a low chorus of boos could be heard from across the street where 700 to 800 protesters beat drums and waved signs bearing slogans such as, "War is not the answer," and "It's not a photo op, George." King Center officials said they extended no formal invitation to Bush, but accepted his offer to come. Under a new proposal, the White House would decide what and when the public would be told about an outbreak of mad cow disease, an anthrax release, a nuclear plant accident, or any other crisis. The White House Office of Management and Budget is trying to gain final control over release of emergency declarations from the federal agencies responsible for public health, safety, and the environment. The OMB also wants to manage scientific and technical evaluations, known as peer reviews, of all major government rules, plans, proposed regulations, and pronouncements. Viacom CBS Thursday rejected a request from liberal group Move On to air a 30-second anti-George W. Bush ad during the Super Bowl, saying the spot violated the network's policy against running issue advocacy advertising. A CBS spokesman said the decision against broadcasting the spot had nothing to do with either the Super Bowl or the ad's specific issue, but was because the network has had a long-term policy not to air issue ads anywhere on the network. Presidential contender Wesley Clark challenged George W. Bush to reverse policies he contended has shut out citizens from government. Clark called on Bush to stop hiding documents through classification, extension, and rollbacks of the Freedom of Information Act, and to cooperate with investigations into the September 11th terror attacks and the administration's secret energy task force. Clark said he would establish an openness doctrine that would restrict the assertion of executive privilege, eliminate secret task forces, and disclose all meetings with special interests. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
It won't happen to me.
There are 1 billion teenagers in the world today. That's one in six people. What if they don't know how or can't protect themselves against AIDS or unintended pregnancy? Help ensure people have access to the tools they need to build a healthy future. Visit www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
It happened to me.
Harleyville, South Carolina is cashing in on the commodity of its town limit signs. The town is now peddling the signs that were once stolen at least twice a year, presumably by fans of Harley-Davidson motorcycles. The signs, which apparently have a prestige among some cyclists, had been disappearing from their post, prompting the police chief to plead with people not to steal them. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Murder is not anything I could ever commit, but there are a few individuals whose obituaries I could read without feeling terribly sad. I must admit, however, that one thing does induce murderous thoughts in my otherwise gentle head. Car alarms. Like a demon screeching from the deepest reaches of hell, these satanic devices whoop, beep, razz, whine, and irritate in the most intrusive way, shattering the civility of entire neighborhoods and jangling even the calmest of souls. They seem programmed specifically to go off in the wee hours of morning, rudely awakening families for blocks around in an act of urban harassment. Car alarms are sold in the name of theft protection, but that's a joke. An independent survey of 73 million insurance claims for robbery of vehicles reveals that cars with alarms, quote, show no overall reduction in theft losses. Why? Two reasons. First, nearly all of the whooping is due to false alarms caused by a passing motorcycle, a thump by a cat, or simply because the damn thing decides on its own to interrupt our peace and tranquility. They go off so often that most of us always assume it's a false alarm. An insurance company found that fewer than 1% of people would call the cops because of a blaring car alarm. Second, it's rare to hear an alarm when the car is actually being stolen because real thieves can easily deactivate the devices in only seconds. As one expert puts it, car alarms work about as well as fuzzy dice at deterring theft. Far from stopping crime, they often cause it, as irate neighbors go out in their jammies to puncture tires, sledgehammer hoods, and even shoot the offending vehicles. Plus, all of this is unnecessary, since there are engine immobilizers that can prevent nearly all auto thievery. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help kill screeching car alarms, call Transportation Alternatives, 212-629-8080.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, and welcome back, friends. Boy, what a day. What an interesting day. What an interesting week. By the way, next Monday, tomorrow, 3 days hence, I shall be broadcasting live from the United States Capitol, and we have a studio there, or the Congress has a studio there that they're going to let me use. So from noon to 3 on Monday of next week, I'll be live from the Capitol. On Tuesday and Wednesday, Rama Schneider, who has filled in for me very ably many times in the past on this program and does a marvelous job, is going to be sitting at this desk and speaking to you about the issues of the day. And Rama's got some good guests lined up. Well, our conservative alert for the day. We are pleased that the American Civil Liberties Union has filed a motion to intervene in support of our argument, said Rush Limbaugh's private attorney, Roy Black, the guy who defended the Smith the Kennedy family fellow on the rape charges and numerous other, Roy Black, heavy-duty, high-powered attorney, one of the best in America. Rush Limbaugh is pleased to have the ACLU on his side, he says. Yes, indeed. And I'm curious, I guess we have a double header today here, a second conservative alert. Back in March 18th, if you can think back that far, I mean, that was back before the summer, back in the spring. And, you know, like the White House team, Bill O'Reilly was saying, hey, you know, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Bush said it. I believe it. I believe that he's telling us the truth, that, he came into office and 9/11 happened and he looked around the world and he said, oh, there's a threat there. These guys have got weapons of mass destruction. They're going to use them against us. We have to take them out. And he said, and I quote, this was on March 18, 2003 on ABC's Good Morning America, quote, if the Americans go in and overthrow Saddam Hussein and it's clean, he has nothing, that is no weapons of mass destruction, I will apologize to the nation and I will not trust the Bush administration again. All right? Well, Bill, we're waiting for the apology and for your explicit statement that you no longer trust the Bush administration. Entertaining, you know, it's always fascinating watching these cons. Just, you know, spin their stuff. Just spin it along. It's Friday afternoon. Any topic you want to talk about, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Did you see where Dick Cheney did a speech recently, gave a speech recently, and a marvelous article written about this in the San Francisco Chronicle on the 15th, yesterday, by James Sterngold. It's called Cheney's Grim Vision, Decades of War. And it starts out, the speech was given in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles World Affairs Council. And Vice President Dick Cheney Wednesday painted a grim picture. You know, keeping in mind that Cheney is the force behind the throne, as it were, painted a grim picture of what he said was a growing threat of a catastrophic terrorist attack in the United States and warned that the battle, like the Cold War, could last for generations. Now, the Cold War, you know, was really interesting. I mean, you go back to Harry Truman dropping the second, and some would say even the first, atomic bomb on Tokyo, certainly the second, in order to scare Stalin, not to end the war. I mean, you know, vaporizing 200,000 human beings, which I have some real problems with, frankly. Harry Truman. Anyhow, that second bomb. And it started this arms race that led to the current madness, you know, where we still have thousands and thousands of weapons pointed at them and them at us. And, I mean, it's the ability to completely annihilate the planet many, many, many times over is still there. But the interesting, I think the most significant or important thing about the Cold War is that it was tremendously profitable. We didn't lose any soldiers. By keeping us in a state of constant fear, they were able to encourage us to, you know, go along with things, the McCarthy Army hearings and all these things. And it made an absolute pile of money, a pile of money for the people in the armaments business. In that day, what would be today's Carlyle Group. And it's just really quite interesting to me how this, the events of today, the war on terror, the explosions, of 9/11, the threats that we're facing domestically, that they're really amping this stuff up. They're really pumping them up. I mean, instead of saying, hey, it's a bunch of thugs, you know, it's Osama and his 20,000 guys, maybe early estimates were there were only 4,000 or 5,000 actually hardcore people who were associated with him. And let's declare them international criminals and hunt them down and bring them in one by one with a worldwide Interpol effort. And now instead we got to go bomb this country and then we got to go bomb that country and then we got to threaten this country. And all of a sudden it's turned into Cold World War III. right? And you know, what kind of good is this doing us, I wonder? I mean, I think it's really important for us to remember what Dwight Eisenhower said when he was leaving office.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes.
And I would suggest that it has, and that it is, and that we need to wake up from that, and that Dick Cheney's grim picture is a future that we don't want and we don't want to share, and that it is definitely not the picture of the future as it must be. It's just the future as it will be if we follow the policies of Bush and Cheney. I mean, basically what he's saying is, if we keep being belligerent and being the world's cop and running around with a big stick and yelling and threatening, then we're going to have decade after decade after decade, generation after generation of people being angry with us and trying to fight back. We're gonna be facing a situation not all that different from what Israel's facing right now with the Palestinians. It's such a tragedy to see this nation going down that direction. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Vin in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Vin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You are on the air.
How are you doing?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Yeah, I think I'll get better.
Good.
You offered me a perfect segue. I was going to refer back to your opening monologue a couple of hours ago, where you were talking about people, you know, not being aware of the difference between the candidates on issues because of the way the media just flogged it over. And, you know, as someone who's a Kucinich supporter and is very much attuned to his positions on free trade and supportive labor, I think a lot of this, a lot of the fact that people are not so attuned, again, it comes from the media, but again, comes from an urge that we all have to get Bush out. And my wife and I finally had a chance to watch Uncovered last night. And I think he did just a wonderful job of presenting.
To watch what?
Cheney and the lies and the thugs.
Hang on just a second. You and your wife had a chance to watch
Uncovered.
Something. And I didn't. Uncovered. Oh, the movie, Uncovered.
Yeah, the film.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And
the one that played nationwide.
Job.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I guess what I'm saying is that I guess the two of us feel now that what our prime mandate is to get that film out to people we know or in our families, and there are a few who are still leaning towards Bush as a good guy.
Yeah, well,
and
they're encouraging you.
I think the film portrays Bush as a puppet, as he is.
Yeah, the producers of that film are encouraging you to bootleg it off the internet, burn it on CDs, pass it out to your friends.
And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Yeah,
and, you know, my message to the people in either my families or my friends that are still on the fence, and I'm not talking about the fence between, say, Dean or Kerry or Kucinich, but on the fence thinking that the administration is doing them a favor, is wake up. As long as you wake up, choose whatever Democrat you want, as long as you wake up, you know.
Yeah.
And then if you can study the difference between the Democratic candidates, fine. I'll be very happy to talk to you about it. But the important thing is that we have to wake people up. And it's amazing watching that film that there are people still asleep. But apparently there's plenty of them.
You know what amazed me when I watched that film, Vin? We have a local theater here at the Savoy in Montpelier, which plays, you know, kind of art films kind of things.
I've been there. It's a very cool town.
Yeah, it is. And they played that as the afternoon matinee and the evening show for, you know, with that one day that all across the nation people were playing it. And it was a huge blizzard here in town. And we went, and we only live a couple blocks away from there, and so we walked down. But, I mean, it was really hard for cars to move around. We had, you know, 2-3 inches of snow on the ground, and the wind was blowing, and it was cold. And the place filled all the way up. I mean, it was packed. But what was most interesting to me was my response to it when it was all done was, A, I knew everything that was in there, right?
Right.
I already knew all those things. And, B, I had forgotten that I knew them. In other words, I, you know, I, it's like so much of it when you just lay it out and concatenate it like that, it's just a slap in the face. Like, you know, my God, we've been lied to. We've been taken advantage of. We've been, you know, they must think we're complete idiots. Look at how we've been manipulated. And yet, I'm pretty, you know, conscious. And yet I had managed to, in some ways, distance myself from the recollection of some of those details.
It's
how about
amazing,
you?
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, did
but
you have a similar
it was
experience?
A good slap in the face for me as well. And I'm hoping to slap the face of people that need to be awakened. And again, you know, I'm hoping that they will also awake and look at the different candidates. But, you know, as long as they awake, you know, I'm feeling, I have to admit to feeling just a tad desperate at this moment.
Do you know?
I just see so many people still sleeping.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I think that if we get a good, strong Democratic candidate, that particularly somebody who's not afraid to stand up and take these guys on,
like
Dennis Kucinich or like Howard Dean.
That's why I do like Howard Dean. Dean is obviously not afraid, and I think he would just, you know, I think they know that, and that's why they're attacking him, that he would put Bush through a meat grinder in a debate.
Or even just in advertising. Yep. Okay, Vin, thanks for the call. We got to move along here. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
that, Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
I was expecting
to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Helping you in the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. It's the Tom Hartman radio program. And this here is Tom Hartman. That's me, folks. Welcome back. Glad to be with you on this Friday afternoon. Clifton in New Mexico is on the line. He's called 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. What's on your mind, Clifton?
Well, I just heard that Michael Moore is actually going to endorse Wesley Clark, and I was wondering if you had any thoughts about that.
Yeah, he did it a couple of days ago, actually, in an email that he sent out to everybody on his email list. I'm on that list, and I got it. I'm frankly baffled. I would vote for Clark if he was the Democratic candidate, because I'll vote for anybody but Bush.
Yeah.
But Wesley Clark, not even a year ago, was speaking at Republican fundraisers and praising Bush and Rice and all these guys, and I suspect that that's going to come back to haunt him big time if he becomes the nominee or the candidate. And I've seen him in the debates, and I don't think he's particularly strong. I can't imagine him taking on George Bush in a really aggressive way. He's a very smart guy, but he's not. I don't think he could win. And I think that, frankly, that's why. And I know this sounds like a conspiracy theory, and I know that it's the favorite conspiracy theory of the right wing, but I think that that's why Bill and Hillary Clinton suggested that he get into the race.
Oh really? Well, it's interesting.
To stop Howard Dean.
Well, it's interesting that that you say that. He's not a very good speaker. And one of the things that Michael Moore was saying was that because of his experience in the military, he would be able to batter Bush in the debates. But given his
I don't know. I think three trained chimps could batter Bush in the debates. But it's more than just that. It's a lot more than that. See, where my conspiracy theory and the right winger's conspiracy theory diverges is they think that the Clintons got Clark into the race in order to stop Dean because they have this grand design to rule the world and they're going to run Hillary in 2008 and all that sort of thing. And I don't disagree that Hillary, in all probability, wants to run in 2008. But I think that she'd be perfectly willing to wait until 2012. I mean, she's not that old. And so I don't see this as a grand conspiracy. I see it rather as a battle for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. I think this is the Democratic Leadership Council, to which Bill and Hillary are very, very wed, which is the let's take corporate money wing of the Democratic Party, struggling for survival. And Terry McAuliffe is part of it, and frankly, most of the candidates of the other Democratic candidates, certainly the big high profile ones like John Kerry and Dick Gephardt, have been part of that. And so I think that this is and Howard Dean is not. Howard Dean has in fact said the first thing he's going to do if he gets the job is he's going to fire Terry McAuliffe and dump the DLC That's why I think they got Clark into this thing to stop him.
I see. Yeah, I was
because there's big bucks at stake here. I mean, the DLC raised tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars for Bill Clinton. They're passing out huge amounts of corporate money.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah, and with regard to Michael Moore, just, you know, I think that probably, you know, he made a remark the other day that he couldn't support somebody who was raised on Park Avenue, as Dean was. I have a feeling that this is just...
that's weird. You know,
kind of a class thing, almost. I don't know. It's frankly confusing. I don't understand it. Thanks, Clifton, for the call. I appreciate it. Brad in Brooklyn, hang on. We'll get to you right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the true people's radio.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new book describes coming home to a chilly western valley that's frozen in time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Winter temperatures in Idaho's Sawtooth Valley can hit 60 below, but the landscape is frozen in another way. Parts of it look as if nothing has changed for decades. The U.S. Forest Service maintains the Sawtooth Valley as a national recreation area, having bought scenic easements on many ranches. The idea was to keep the valley from developing with the trophy homes and subdivisions that are sweeping the west. John Rember grew up in the Sawtooth Valley, and he's written a new book called Trap Lines. In 1987, Rember moved back to his family's land out of what he calls a homing instinct. The area looked much the same as when he went off to college in the 1960s, but he says that was an illusion.
So if you go into the valley now, it will look very much like it did in the late 60s and even the late 50s. But it's an artificial reality created by the government deciding that it was worthwhile to create what's essentially a Western museum.
Rember says the valley's modest ranches are now museum pieces, but he says it looks authentic to summer travelers, some of whom decide the valley would be an ideal place to live.
You have a lot of people trying to figure out ways to live there, and I guess the winters are our great immune system. It gets cold and dark, and the sun doesn't get very high above the Sawtooth to the west. It's a valley that's hemmed in by mountains, so in the winter, there's a lot of shadows.
Still, Rember says wealthy people have bought many of the ranches, putting up big log homes to use as summer retreats, but he says he still feels connected to the land he grew up on.
I feel very lucky, and as I point out in the book, there are worse lives than those lived in museums.
That's John Rember, author of Trap Lines. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It is 38 minutes past the hour, or 27 minutes before the hour. And Brad in Brooklyn has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Brad, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, it's Brad Walrod, who does our music.
That's me.
Hey, welcome.
How you doing?
Good.
I caught Michael Moore on the Charlie Rose show the other night. I actually taped it and watched it last night. He certainly seems sincere about his wanting to see Wesley Clark. And he had several points. I didn't take notes, but I'll tell you what I remembered from it. He really thought strongly that the Midwest especially would answer to a general, that they would be attracted to a service person. And
you know where this all started for Michael Moore?
How's that?
He sat next to Wes Clark on an airplane.
He mentioned that.
And I'm wondering if any other candidate had taken the trouble to meet him and court him, if they would have ended up with his endorsement. I mean, you know, celebrities are still human beings, too, and they're just as vulnerable to having their egos stroked as anybody else.
I understand. I mean, he felt the fact that Clark was from the South, or he's from Arkansas, isn't he?
Yeah.
He felt that that would be helpful, very helpful for him. He felt that a lot of the people are still on the fence as to who they're going to vote for. Just, you know, we had almost a 50-50 split in 2000, and he thought that, you know, Charlie Rose brought up, he said, you know, well, he voted for Reagan. And this Moore says he thought that was actually going to be a benefit. He says a lot of people voted for Reagan.
Yeah, but he also voted for Nixon, and he also voted for George Bush Sr., and he also voted for George Bush Jr., who's currently in the White House.
Mm, that's a shame.
I mean, the guy's been voting Republican since the 70s.
He listed several key states, including Florida, that he thought Clark had the best chance of winning. And I didn't write down the names of the states. Florida caught my attention, though, for obvious reasons. And he said, like you've said on the show, that he would vote for anybody that wasn't Lieberman. But, you know, he gave a good description of why he thought he could really win.
Yeah. Well, I think it's possible with any candidate for anybody to come up with a list of why they could win, and not to put down, you know, Michael Moore's support for Wesley Clark. I'm sure that Clark has some good reasons why he can win, but in my book, his politics are not, he's too conservative for me. He's too closely, and now Michael Moore says he's farther to the left of Howard Dean. I mean, he's been pulling these policies out of the hat in the last week. You know, no taxes if you make less than $50,000 a year. But, you know, I don't think that you become a progressive overnight. Maybe, you know, maybe. But somebody who voted for George W. Bush over Al Gore tells me, you know, that tells me a lot. I have a hard time with it.
I'm still like that, Edwards, but I've told you that before.
You still like Edwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I think he's a very good guy. And my guess is that he's actually... Do you think he's running for president or for vice president?
Well, you've mentioned you think he's running for vice president, that he's actually said he is. I'd like to see him, you know, go strong in Iowa and come kind of out of nowhere like Clinton did, frankly, if, you know, 8 to 12 years ago.
Well, it's a possibility. I mean, you got all these things coming up in the South.
I worry about Dean. I think he's gotten better in each debate, but I frankly worry about the Dean in a debate with the president.
Why?
I think he is not as eloquent and will come across looking deceptive.
You think anybody would look bad going up against George? I mean,
well, that's saying a lot for me to be saying that at all. But then again, I think somebody like Clark or Edwards would be excellent against him.
Yeah.
And I think that's really going to be what we need to pull those people that are on the fence over to the good side.
Yeah, I think Edwards would be excellent. I mean, Clark, you know, coming out one day and saying, you know, if I'm elected, there will be no terrorist attacks. I mean, he has put his foot in his mouth a lot more often, as far as I can tell, than Howard Dean has. But my bias is showing here, so I'll stop at that point.
Okay.
I will vote for anybody other than Lieberman, but I'd even vote for Joe Lieberman if that was the only choice.
I know, if that's the only choice. So hopefully that won't be.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Brad.
Okay, take care.
Stay in touch. Thanks. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to call. The lines are open. Let's go back to Cheney's grim vision, decades of war here. This was... Cheney devoted the half hour, this is the article by James Sterngold, that in the San Francisco Chronicle. It's up on the Common Dreams website. And Cheney devoted the half-hour speech to a frightening characterization of the war on terrorism and the new kind of mobilization he said it demanded. And he sounded the alarm about it, the increasing prospects of a major new terrorist attack and the extraordinary responses that are required. He struck a surprisingly dour note and proved that suggested that only an administration of proven ability could manage the dramatic overhaul necessary for the nation's security apparatus. I mean, does this sound familiar? This is Nixon in the Nixon-Kennedy debates. I mean, this is the end of the Eisenhower era. Nixon was vice president, and he was going into the Kennedy thing saying, we face a formidable foe in the USSR, the Soviet Union, and you need somebody like me who has experience in taking them on. And that was a close race. It was a very close race. Cheney also said in his speech, according to Sterngold's article here, he also said that the administration was planning to expand the military into even more overseas base. Now, we have bases, I believe, in 130 countries around the world. Anyway, he said the administration was planning to expand the military into even more overseas bases so the United States could wage war quickly around the globe. It kind of tells you this guy's not planning for international peace any day soon. Cheney said, quote, instead of losing thousands of lives, we might lose tens or even hundreds of thousands of lives as the result of a single attack or a set of coordinated attacks. In other words, let's keep people terrified. Now, here's the flip side of Mr. Cheney. Keep in mind, Mr. Cheney is still taking paychecks from Halliburton. He still gets a check every year for between $100,000 and $1 million. And he still owns several hundred thousand unexercised stock options, which grow in value every day that Halliburton's net worth increases, which he can cash in when he leaves office. This from David Sirota, one of the main writers for the Center for American Progress, Government of, By, and For Halliburton. And this really is extraordinary. In the 42400 edition of Oil and Gas Journal, a top Halliburton scientist said that, quote, a Mars exploration program represents an unprecedented opportunity for the oil industry to make billions. He noted the reason was that such a, quote, great potential for a happy synergy between Halliburton and space researchers, end quote, was because the new drilling techniques developed in a Mars program would aid Halliburton's drilling for oil on Earth. And then we go on. I mean, so, you know, Halliburton has actually lobbied. I mean, Halliburton has gotten out there and said, we're, you know, the Mars thing. I don't have the story here. I had it. Not sure what happened to it. Anyhow, there's a whole thing here on Halliburton and Mars, which is really, you can find it on AmericanProgress.org. Awarding Halliburton no-bid contracts despite company's record. Halliburton received $2.26 billion in no-bid contracts from the federal government for reconstruction in Iraq. The total value of contracts in Iraq could eventually reach $15.5 billion. They were given these contracts despite having a history of price gouging. A 1997 GAO report found the company, quote, build the army. Now, this is a quote from the General Accounting Office. Halliburton billed the Army for questionable expenses for work in the Balkans, including charges of $85.98 per sheet of plywood that cost $14.06. And in 2002, the Pentagon's Inspector General and a federal grand jury have investigated allegations that a Halliburton subsidiary, quote, defrauded the government of millions of dollars by inflating prices for repairs and maintenance. Now, this wasn't just an allegation. Halliburton actually paid $2 million in fines. They got caught, and they paid. Now, if you had robbed the local liquor store, would they hire you as a clerk? I mean, you know, it's for that matter, would you be running around loose? after revelations surfaced that Halliburton overcharged the government by $61 million in Iraq, this on the gasoline thing, the White House stripped out a provision from the $87 billion Iraqi spending bill that would have subjected the company and other price gougers to criminal penalties. Did you remember this? The White House got into the act of rewriting the $87 billion appropriation and said, we're going to make price gouging just a misdemeanor. It's no longer a criminal penalty. It's no longer a criminal. It's no longer a crime. It's just a misdemeanor. It's just it's a civil issue. We'll fine them. So it becomes a cost of doing business for these companies if they get caught. They don't have to worry about serious penalties. The Bush administration has yet to penalize Halliburton or suspend its contracts, even after the Pentagon, quote, repeatedly warned the company that the food it was serving in the 110,000 U.S. troops in Iraq was dirty. The Pentagon officials found, quote, blood all over the floor of kitchens, dirty pans, dirty grills, dirty salad bars, and rotting meats and vegetables in four of the military messes, no longer quoting here, in four of the military messes the company operates in Iraq. Halliburton's promises to improve, quote, have not been followed through, end quote. And yet no action has been taken by the administration to reprimand the company. The administration's energy bill, a product of Cheney's secret 2001 task force, would, quote, exempt the process called hydraulic fracturing from the Safe Drinking Water Act regulations. Now, this is a technique for getting more oil out of the ground, where they drill down into oil wells that are fairly small, or where it's a lot of oil infiltrated through other kinds of rock, or oil wells that are down to the point where it's getting really hard to suck that straw to draw out the oil below the halfway point. And they pump in hydrochloric acid and kerosene and diesel fuel and whatever they've got around, and they pump that stuff in, and it creates the pressure that pops the oil back out. Now, the only problem with this, it's called hydraulic fracturing. The only problem with it is, or it'll fracture the rocks around the oil pool and cause that, openings that can cause the oil then to come in. The only problem with this is that these chemicals, very often, because of the fracturing of all the rock around it, these chemicals end up in people's wells. They get into the water supply. And communities in a half a dozen states now have had their water contaminated by this drilling technique. So what do? They put into the energy bill this giant boondoggle, which has not been passed yet, by the way, the one that the Democrats have succeeded in stalling. But if Bush gets reelected, all bets are off. They put into the energy bill a specific loophole saying the communities can't sue under the Clean Drinking Water Act. Sorry. If somebody's using this particular type of drilling technology, which Halliburton developed and does, then and your water gets polluted by it, that's just tough. They're preserving tax loopholes for Halliburton. When Cheney was CEO, Halliburton, quote, dramatically increased its subsidiaries located in offshore tax havens, claiming at least 20 subsidiaries in the Cayman Islands alone. And finally, remember Muammar Gaddafi coming around? Everybody was so surprised. Muammar Gaddafi, he wants to be friends with us. He's letting us inspect his nuclear laboratory. Turned out his nuclear laboratory was not quite as advanced as the typical American university, but it was basically a joke. But it made great PR for this administration. They could all say, see, our going into Iraq caused Gaddafi to roll over. Well, in fact, the only thing that was holding Gaddafi back from joining the world of nations was paying off on these two airplanes that they blew out of the sky. And they've done that now. They've resolved that. And so, they said, hey, they came to the United States and they said, hat in hand, said, hey, we want to get out from underneath this embargo. It's hurting us. And by the way, we've got some oil we'll sell you. And so the administration says, well, that's fine. Tell you what, though, we could use a little help. If you'll announce to the world, do you guys have any weapons of mass destruction or any nuclear bombs? And Gaddafi says, nah, we haven't done that. We haven't been making those things. We haven't had the money. And we don't have any neighbors that are directly threatening us. which is pretty much the case. I mean, Libya is surrounded in most regards by poverty. And so the administration says, well, cool. In that case, you can let inspectors in, right? And Libya goes, yeah, sure, why not? So they say, great, we're gonna do a big PR drive about this. We're going to get faux news all pumped up on it. And then we'll drop the embargoes and we'll start buying your oil. And you, Muammar Gaddafi, the nasty dictator, can be a wealthy guy and your country can do a little better. And now, this is what happened. Now, here's the story behind the story. The administration has moved to normalize relations with Libya, a move long pushed for by Halliburton. As CEO of Halliburton, Cheney lobbied to lift sanctions on Libya in the May of 1997. Oil and Gas Journal reported, quote, Cheney said oil and gas companies must explore where the reserves are, and that means doing business in countries that may have policies that the U.S. does not like, end quote. According, this is a quote from Cheney. The long-term horizon of the oil industry is at odds with the short-term nature of politics, said Cheney in 97. The next year, Cheney ratcheted up his campaign, once again criticizing the U.S. security policy on foreign soil. Cheney hit out at his government for imposing economic sanctions like the Iran-Libya Sanctions Act. So it was Halliburton that wanted Libya to be brought into the League of Nations. And welcome. Here they are. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Barkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry?
And welcome back. The answer is blowing in the wind. Well, you know, maybe the answer will be blowing in the November elections. This is Tom Hartman. It's 4 minutes before the hour here. I want to thank Louise Hartman for producing the program here in Vermont, Brad Walrod in New York City, in Brooklyn for editing our music, Steph Stryker and Steve Damschroeder for engineering the program in Detroit. And all the folks in our chat room who I think everybody got bounced out of it about 4 minutes ago. The chat room seemed to crash for a moment. It's back up now, but I got bumped out, and it was like, you know, it's one of those things that happens, I guess. Welcome to the wonderful world of cyberspace. Anyhow, here we have the Halliburton connections. Halliburton actively pushing for Mars funding. In the Oil and Gas Journal, the Halliburton scientist says Mars exploration represents an unprecedented opportunity for the industry and it warrants the support of both government and industry leaders. And he talks about that. And then he goes on to report that Halliburton is already involved in a preliminary consortium of industry and academia, quote, organized to support the development of a new technology required for the Mars mission, end quote. You get that? February 28th, 01 report in Petroleum News confirmed that, quote, NASA has been working with Halliburton and others to identify drilling technologies that might work on Mars. On Mars. Halliburton. I saw a cartoon the other day where it showed, you know, the astronauts stepping out of the spaceship on Mars and, you know, planting the flag that said Mars on it, and it had the Halliburton logo on it. And it's like, apparently, I thought that was a joke, you know. But apparently this is the case. In fact, since April of 2000, according to the Oil and Gas Journal, Halliburton has been pushing for funding of the oil. Quote, the oil and gas industry may lie in technology that NASA will use for drilling into the surface of Mars. And so it goes. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for being with us this week. Tune in Monday, same time, same place. We'll talk to you then. Thanks.
But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner. And then